Go ahead and jump into the message this morning, where we're continuing the short series where we've been answering the question, what kind of church will we be? Because in this new chapter in the life of the church, we get the opportunity to really think about what we want to be. How will we be defined as a church and get on the same page regarding some important topics? And when we think of what we want to be as a church, I brought forward these verses from the early church that formed right after Peter preached his message in Pentecost. And thousands were saved and really became the first church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we read, "And they, being everyone who got saved, formed the first church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And I think these verses give us a great look into what being a God-glorifying church looks like, which we talked about in the first week. Glorifying God is the purpose of all of our lives and certainly is the purpose of the church. And then last week, we looked at the first part of these verses where we saw how those in the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We talked about the critical importance of prayer. And now this morning, we're going to cover two more important topics that we also saw at the beginning of these verses, that being prayer and fellowship. So we're going to start with prayer. And in a place like this, I would imagine I don't have to tell you that prayer is important, but let me just say this to make sure we're all on the same page. Prayer is so, so important if you are a Christian. It is so important that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, that we should be constantly in prayer. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. And at the end of his section talking about the armor of God, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints." So Paul wraps up his section where he talks about what Christians need to do to stand against the schemes of the devil by telling his readers that they need to pray. They need to pray all the time. And if you're looking for an example of this, you know, it's the good Sunday school answer. If you're ever in Sunday school and you don't know the answer, just usually answer Jesus, and you're probably right in some way or another. But an example of that, of course, is Jesus. You see, if you know the Gospels, he was praying throughout his entire ministry. We see him always turning to prayer. And when Jesus faced the cross and all of that entailed, what did he do? He prayed. We have the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, God, very God, about to face the unimaginable, and he turns to prayer. So it's not an exaggeration to say that prayer is critical for us as Christians. Prayer should be an indispensable part of our lives if we are followers of God. And we saw twice from Paul so far that we shouldn't just be praying when we have time or the time we dedicate to our devotions, though of course we should be praying then, or you know, our trip to work, whatever it is. We should be praying all the time, regardless of our situations. This is, you know, confession time. This is what I'm working on. It's trying to get my mind off of other things, whether it be things of this world, things of my life, all that other stuff, and just get my mind on God. Just get in the habit of praying, even if it's just short prayers. We should be praying all the time, as Paul says. And I like this quote from Martin Luther. He says, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." That is how much prayer needs to be in us and a part of our walks with God. So now, hopefully, we're all on the same page regarding the importance of prayer. But let's also make sure we're on the same page regarding what prayer is. Because most Christians believe prayer is simply their time to give God their wish list of what they would like Him to do. But prayer at its heart is primarily relational. I like this definition. So look at it from the Dictionary of Bible Themes. It's saying that prayer is fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, expressing adoration, thanksgiving, and intercession, through which believers draw near to God and learn more of His will for their lives. Prayer is fellowship with God. It is how we draw near to Him, how we can learn more about His will for our lives. Now, of course, prayer involves bringing your needs to Him. But it's more than that. It's not less than that, but it's certainly more than that. And if we are going to be honest, the reason that so many people struggle with prayer and struggle to pray is because most, if not all, of their time is just asking God for stuff. Instead, prayer should be a time when we get to commune with our Lord and Savior. I mean, you get to spend time with the God of the universe. We should want that time of fellowship to grow closer to Him, just like we would want that time with the people that we love in our lives. Look, football season's about to kick off. I'm from the South. I got home yesterday from working and doing some different stuff, laid on the couch for a second. I went, why is there not football on right now? And then even talking yesterday, because it was my birthday, I was talking to some family and stuff and asking my brother-in-law about the tailgates that they're going to do. And it's just such a time to get together with people, your friends, your family. It's just a time where people may not even go to the game. I mean, LSU, the stadium seats over 102,000. And depending on the game, the stadium will be packed and you'll have tens of thousands more outside the stadium. It's just a time together with people. And it's just, why wouldn't you want that time with the people that you love, that you have a shared interest with, that you're friends with? Then why wouldn't we want that with the God of the universe? And of course, what I like about this definition is it highlights through prayer, we seek God's will for our lives. We have to remember, our lives are for Him and His glory. So we should always be seeking what God has for us and wants us to do to advance His kingdom here on earth, to glorify His name in everything, regardless of what we're going through or what we might face. So like Jesus, let's bring our requests to God. But then we should always have trust and devotion to Him. So if we don't get what we're asking for, we're okay. And we're ready to move forward in obedience to Him. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, I went to catechism as a kid, so I've got the old King James Version. But our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And it's what? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it's give us this day our daily bread. Before anything else, it is your kingdom come, your will be done. So it's so important to get our minds off this idea that God is just some genie who we give our wishes to, or somehow God is our servant to where we give Him our list of things and, you know, we just expect, come on, what's the deal? Where are these answers at? Where He gives us whatever whim we have. Those thoughts about prayer and God may not be what's actually in our mind, but if we look at our actions and our prayer lives so often, what does it look like? Because I would bet, just naturally, we get into where all our time is just spent asking for things. Again, nothing wrong with that. That's just not all prayer is. And by the way, there might be a prayer where you're facing something and you do. Your entire prayer is just asking for something. That's okay. It's just getting our minds around that reality that prayer is more than just asking God for what we want. Does our prayer life look like a time of communing with our God and Lord, seeking again to advance His kingdom and have His will for our lives be our reality? So when we're talking about prayer, so many of us just have to change the entire concept of prayer that we are so used to. And the reality is we will never be Christians that we could be, or for that matter, a church that we can be, if we aren't praying and praying like we should, both in kind and in time, both in the way that we should be praying and also dedicating our time to prayer. Instead of using this so often little time that we give to prayer to just give God the stuff that we're looking for from Him. If we will be Christians who believe in the power and the importance of prayer, who will pray as much as we can, praying like the biblical examples we have and how Jesus taught. I mean, the Psalms are a song book, but in many ways it's a prayer book too. I mean, you have an entire book of the Bible that is a great example of what prayer looks like through different seasons, whether it be difficulty, whether it be joy, thanksgiving, all of that. If we will be a church committed to prayer like that, not just praying for ourselves, but praying for others, both in this church, but also our communities around us, the people we interact with on a daily basis, and we do all of this by faith, of course. Well, I believe we can see God do incredible things both in our lives and the church. And again, I love this quote also from R.A. Torrey. He says, "When the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end." Look, prayer may not solve all your problems. You may be praying for something and have been praying about it for a long time. If you've been a Christian or you've been praying for any amount of time, then you know the reality of unanswered prayers. But if we don't come to God in faith through our prayers, knowing that He hears us, knowing that He is a good God, resting on the promises of the Bible and all of that says, believing in who He is, well then, here's the reality. If we don't turn our situations over to God, if we don't come to Him in prayer, well, then we're on our own, in our own strength, trying to figure things out, trying to navigate it, trying at times to pull good from what looks like there could be anything good from that situation. Instead of coming to God in prayer, trusting Him, turning it over to Him, believing in the promises like Romans 8:28, that all things work to the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If we come to God in prayer, humble ourselves before the Lord of all, seeking to have Him work in our lives and our situations, whether we understand it or not, whether we can see the light at the end of the tunnel or not, whatever it is, trusting Him, that, again, whether we understand it, we can advance His kingdom in our lives and our situations. And by the way, just overall be blown away at the fact that we get to commune with the God of the universe who created everything, including us, who has all of time and history in His hand, working it out towards His end. I just think that in and of itself should drive us to want to pray. But if we can just get in the habit of prayer, you can feel that peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that God is in control. And whatever happens, I've given it to God, and I'm ready to glorify Him through this. I'm ready to do my part, and I'll trust God to do His part. And then if you get a group of people who believe and pray this way, I mean, watch out, right? That is the beauty of what the church can do and be. So prayer is so powerful and important for us, not only individually, but also as a community of people who are praying. It is so invaluable. And so let's get to the second topic that we're covering, which is fellowship. So that we're on the same page with what I mean regarding fellowship, because everyone might have different ideas of what that means. Here's a definition from, again, the Dictionary of Bible Themes about what fellowship is. Fellowship is association based upon the sharing of something in common. Excuse me, believers have fellowship with one another on the basis of their common fellowship with God, their participation in the blessings of the gospel, and their common task of mission. True fellowship is demonstrated in concern for and practical commitment to one another. As we see, the fellowship we're talking about within the context of Christianity in the church always, always starts with our fellowship with God. If you are a Christian, The most important relationship you have, surprise if you didn't know this, it's with God. That is your most important relationship. That is the time of fellowship that should be priority above all else. Because here's the reality. From the very beginning, humans were created to be in relationship, to have that fellowship with God. And when Adam chose to be part of a rebellion against him, that severed our fellowship with God, with no way to remedy our situation to get back into that relationship with God we were always supposed to have. Thankfully, though, the testimony of Scripture is that God not only sought out us as rebellious humans, but he made a way for us to be in relationship with him again, to restore that fellowship and communion with him as we were always intended to have, though, of course, we don't deserve because of our rebellion from him. And this is at the heart of the gospel, the incredible good news that we don't have to face God's rightful and good wrath against our sins, but instead we can have relationship like we were always created to do. We can have that fellowship with him now like we will experience for all of eternity, all because of Jesus. So an inescapable part of what it is to be human is to be in relationship with others, to have that kind of fellowship with other people. And of course, that's first and foremost with God. But as we know from the creation account, the only aspect, if you know your Bible, the only aspect of creation that was not good was what? It was that man was alone. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. After creating man, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." It is not good to be alone. If you are a human, which surprise you are in this place, there is no other kind, you were created to not be alone. From the beginning, we are seeing the importance of relationship and the fellowship that we have with other people. Again, both with God and with others. We are always better together as humans through the relationships that we have. So as Christians, the relationships we have are so important for our lives, and they can have such a profound effect on our lives. We can be in fellowship with people who can define us and put us in a great place, or we can have fellowship with people who could put us in a not so good place. And we all know this. We all either know stories or have experience where the people we surround ourselves with affect us. How often that fellowship, those relationships that we have, can put us into a negative spot, can put us in a place where we did not want to be, or they could put us, and they can encourage us, they could put us in a better place than we were before. So we must not take lightly those we associate with, the fellowships that we have. Growing up in church, many different churches, I've heard it said a million times, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future," especially the younger that you are. Who do you associate with? What kind of fellowship do you actually have? That is going to affect you. It's going to affect the very direction of your life in many cases. It makes such a big difference. So if you're a Christian, this starts with God. Invest more time into your relationship with God, that time of fellowship that you have with him. You should be investing time, effort, and energy within your relationship with God above anything else. That's what we were created to do. But we also have to be careful regarding the fellowship we have with other humans. Do you have God-glorifying relationships? Ones that are helping us in our journey of loving and serving God, in our journey to fulfill the purpose of our lives, which is to glorify God? Or, at best, are they neutral, if not a hindrance to our relationship with God, depending on what they look like? Look, we are blessed to be in this country, where we do not have to have fear for our lives and our safety as we go out these doors, as so many of our other brothers and sisters in Christ have. I believe it was at the beginning of June in Congo, there were 80 Christians killed in a few days who people tracked them down because they knew they were Christian and killed many of them. That is thankfully, and we're blessed that that is not our reality. But not only around the world right now, but throughout history, that wasn't the reality for Christians. If Christians were going to follow God, it was going to come at a cost, often a very high cost. Christians would and still do lose their place in society, culture. They may lose critical relationships with their close friends and their family. That could leave them, in many cases, without anything at all in many aspects, or fearing for their lives. So when we talk about the importance of fellowship for Christians, especially with other Christians, I think in our context, again, we're blessed to be in our context, but we're a little spoiled. I think we can think things like, well, fellowship with other Christians is nice when I can, if I have time, right? You know, maybe if I can even find them, but it's kind of like, I have bigger things to worry about. I have other concerns, aspects of my life that I need to give attention to. I think we would all say we have a general idea of the importance of being in fellowship with other Christians. But if we're honest, Sunday's just kind of another thing to put on the calendar that we do. We see a few people we know, and we go about our week, and then next Sunday will come around if we have time. You know, it'll be great to see them. We're just not too worried about it. It's nice, but it's not really much of a priority. If it happens, great. If not, oh, well, it's okay, you know. But that mentality and how we often approach our Christian fellowship, again, just goes to show how blessed we are. Getting back to other Christians, it wasn't just a happy suggestion to be in fellowship with other believers. At times, that's all that they had. Following God came at such a high cost that they wouldn't have anyone else in their lives. They wouldn't have anyone to give them support or just to have relationship with. And while we can follow and serve God alone, it is infinitely better in community, a community of other people to help us when we need, to encourage us, to spur us on in our journeys with God, to have people just come and remember our names and just say, hey, how are you? How is your brother? How is your sister? How is your husband? Whatever it is, remembering aspects of our life. This is why church is so important. It is the place where we come together as a community of Christians to grow in our knowledge of God, hopefully in our love of God, to worship Him with other believers, and also to help other Christians in need, or to be helped when we have need, and to be encouraged and supported in our walks with God, all of course with the goal of glorifying God and advancing His kingdom. It's amazing to think we have people from different ages, different stages of life, all around the country, who all come under this umbrella of the purpose. We love God if we are Christians, and we're looking to advance His kingdom and glorify Him. It is that great unifying factor. That is what makes church amazing. But unfortunately, I don't think, especially again in our context, that we put the priority and value on Christian fellowship as we should. We all live pretty good lives overall. Maybe we have friends and family here, or maybe our family's spread about, whatever that is. So the relationships at church are cool, but they're not that important. We view our relationship with God as a personal matter, and in many respects it is, but whether we get to church and experience all that Christian fellowship entails, that's okay, right? We're busy people, football season's on soon, right? And so that makes a whole different thing. And listen, again, I don't mean to keep hating on football. I'm mostly preaching at myself. I love football. I love sports. But are we really going to say sports should be on the level of God whenever we're talking about our time, our effort, and our energy? And again, I grew up in a place where I'm a Saints fan, and I grew up watching the Saints with a bag on my head. We were so bad for so many years. Like, I love it, but is that really should be a a priority even close to the church, to God, to our fellowship with other believers, whether we're doing good, trying to encourage and help other believers in their walk with God. We can't, so often we think, well, we can't expect to just get there every time the church door is open. And look, I get it. I'm not trying to shame us. I'm not trying to ultimately put shame on us. But again, I'm just bringing it up to say, it just goes to show how blessed we are, where we don't value our Christian fellowship as we should, as so many, again, of our other brothers and sisters in Christ who might have an underground church in Asia somewhere, who it is a joy when they get to be around their other brothers and sisters in Christ, to see them, to have that kind of fellowship, to be able to resonate and share those common values and all of that. So it's so important for us as believers to have this time of fellowship. But often we treat it as just one more thing on our schedule rather than this incredible thing that we get to be a part of, where we glorify God together as His bride, as the extension of that here in Kenosha through unified worship, encouragement, and serving Him. We have the backpack drive going on right now, and we have the food giveaway coming up in a couple weeks. I mean, we get to serve our community. That is something that, hey, you could serve your neighbors and you should as an individual, but when we get together, we can reach more people again for the glory of God. I think it's so sad and frankly detrimental to us as Christians that we've gotten so comfortable in our current cultural context and we miss out on so much because we don't understand the importance of our Christian fellowship. And when you look at the verses that I started with this morning about the early church, their fellowship and practice of living their lives in community with other believers was unmistakable. They certainly understood its importance and need. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Look at a few verses again to remind you. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Go down a couple verses, 44. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. It's unmistakable. The early church understood this fellowship. Their lives were fundamentally changed coming to Christ. And it was an amazing thing to be with others who likewise shared that reality. So church, I can't state enough how important our Christian fellowship is. It will not only bless you relationally, but also our fellowship with other Christians as seen in our lives through the church and the relationships and services, our service to other Christians and the community and the encouragement that happens here, it will help you grow and mature in your relationship with God. I heard it this morning. I was listening to something while I was getting ready, and the person said, it wasn't a sermon or anything, it was just a theologian, I was listening about something, but he brought up the thing. It's like, look, church is a team sport. It is not an individual. It's not me. It's not just one person here. This thing is a team endeavor. I can't get to everyone all the time. I'm still just trying to learn everybody's name. That is going to be a miracle in and of itself. But I can't get to everyone all the time. I don't know all your stories yet. Lord willing, I will. But for those of you who have been here, you do know the people. You do know the stories. Man, just being able to see how people are doing, a call, a text, or just linking arms whenever we're here, you can get encouragement. And if you're in a good place, first off, praise the Lord, because life will always hit us between the eyes sooner or later. So if you're in a good place, come here and look to encourage other people. Look to do that. This is and I love that. You know, church is that team sport. Every part of the body has a purpose. And if you're a Christian, as Paul says, you are a part of the body. Ultimately, we will grow and mature in our relationship with God through the fellowship we have, the strengthening of other believers to help us in the race of our lives until we get to God. So don't overlook your time of fellowship. Make it a higher priority and see what you can do to encourage and serve other people. But look, I'm thankful for a church like this. In the short time that I've had, the people are so warm and loving and do care. That's why I wanted to implement a greeting time. Why would we not want to have, even if it's just a short time, a time to go around and see people maybe that you don't know. Introduce yourself to someone new or someone you haven't seen for a while. Because what can happen is people just come right before church and we're busy, so we leave right after church. And we could be in the same quote-unquote community, but we could know nothing about each other. And that's what we're hoping to avoid. We want to be in fellowship with one another. But one quick warning, we must always fight for unity within the church, because here's the reality. We have a very real enemy of our souls who's looking to divide and do whatever he can to cause issues in the church and to interrupt and cut off our fellowship. And maybe not the fellowship at whole, but maybe he could pick off one or two people off the sides to get them alone, to attack them in a different way, or to get them discouraged, or whatever that would look like. So like the early church, we should seek to be unified, remembering, I say it all the time, I've only been here a few weeks and you probably are tired of it already, church is not about us. Church is about God. It's about glorifying Him and therefore serving Him through the time of worship, whatever that looks like, and using our gifts that He has given to us to build the kingdom and help and encourage other Christians. I don't care what your gift is. There is a place for it in the kingdom somewhere. Of course, listen, this doesn't mean we'll all be in perfect agreement. That is impossible, right? We will never always be in agreement, and that's okay. Unity does not mean unanimity. It does, just because we're unified doesn't mean that we'll just be in agreement about every single thing. I've been in many churches, mega church, the church plant, different denominations, everything in between. And there's never always agreement. I actually would be more scared if there was agreement. I'd be like, is this a cult? Like, I don't understand. Like, we're just different people. We have different views. And that's okay. But we can never lose sight what this place is for and what we are doing here, which is everything I said before, and the fellowshipping of believers, knowing how important it is. Knowing, again, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any of us. It's about why we're here, to glorify God. And I've heard the saying before, and it's kind of funny. I apply it to myself. You could apply it to you. But it's like, if there was a perfect church, then guess what? We probably shouldn't join, because we would ruin it, right? Like, that's just it. If we ever found the perfect church, it's like, well, I better not go there. I don't want to mess up whatever's happening there. We can be unified and not be in agreement. We have biblical basis for different things, whether it's the different authority structures, whether it's different using our gifts, whether it's this, whether it's that. And we can trust God and know, God, I'm doing my part, and I trust you with the rest, whatever that looks like. So for many of us, we know how important prayer is, but let's not forget our fellowship either. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Let's not neglect to meet with one another. Listen, I am very thankful that we have a stream. I'm very thankful for online church. But if you can, you should be in a church. If you're listening, this church probably. But if for some reason you're listening, whatever your home church is, be in a church if you can. Now, I know there's different situations where people are not able to. I get that. But listening online, having online church, is not the same as our Christian fellowship. You can't be a part of a church that ultimately their church is, you know, 1,000 miles away. You may like the preacher, you may like the worship, you may like this, this, and that, but fellowship is about the people meeting together to be able to, what does the writer of Hebrews say? Stir one another up to love each other. Stir one another up for good works. And all the more as you see the day draw near, encouraging one another. Because, you know, this gets into eschatology and all that, but I just think Scripture makes clear things will get harder and harder until our Lord returns. And we need to be encouraged. We need other people to help get our sight off of the world, off of this life, and onto the most important things, being encouraged through our fellowship. So what kind of church will we be? Well, I think these are two extremely important topics that we covered this morning that cannot be overlooked, that being our prayer and fellowship. We must be a church that prays. And we must be Christians who understand the value of our Christian fellowship, our fellowship with one another. And of course, these topics aren't just for the church. They're also applicable to us individually. However much you're praying, pray more. We must be people who pray, and not just pray for what we want, but pray to see God's kingdom come and His will be done in our lives. And when there are those times where we don't feel like praying, we can look to Jesus as our example and see Him praying in the garden before He suffered and died for us. Jesus was never surprised at what was coming, and yet He took time to still pray before He faced what He did. Realized that what Jesus gave to save us from our sins and eternal death, and hopefully as our mind goes to Jesus in the garden and realize what He was praying about and what was coming just a few hours later, hopefully that warms our heart to lead us back in the prayer, even if it's just a quick prayer that's like, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've given for me. Help me to love. Help me to be grateful. Help me to have joy." Even if it's just a simple prayer like that, let Jesus be our example. Let our hearts be warmed from His example, and let that lead us back into prayer. And then we must not overlook our fellowship with other Christians in our lives. You may have good friends and family. I pray that they're all saved. But if they're not, or even if they are, if you're a part of this church, come to this church. And then if all you do is say hi and have a smile on your face and ready to encourage people, praise the Lord. But if you need something, we're here to help. This is the part of fellowship. Don't put aside your Christian fellowship. We have to stop treating church like it's just another thing we need to do and see it for the unbelievable value that it has for us as we're running the race of our lives until we get to God. And when we don't feel like coming to church and fellowshipping with other believers, listen, we've all been there. We can again look to Jesus and remember what He earned for us, that He made a way for us to have fellowship with God again, that He did that for us to have that relationship, that chasm that is there because of our sin. Jesus made a way for us to have relationship with God again after we rebelled, and we continue to rebel so often. I think we can remember that and again have our hearts warmed and realize, look, it's not about us. I'll keep saying that until y'all either vote me out or I'm gone somehow or another, or I'm just dead. It's not about us. Your life is not about you ultimately. It's about God. So come to church when you don't feel like it and find someone and encourage them, or say so, or go to someone you know and say, "Look, I really need prayer right now because I am going through this." And then just come be fed by the Word. Join in worship. And then again, encourage, serve other people, knowing what? We will be in fellowship with each other for all of eternity. It's kind of what cracks me up when people say, like, "Well, I don't really like the people in the church." It's like, well, I guess eternity is going to be miserable for you. I mean, that's what the people you're going to be surrounded by is Christians and those who are in the church. That image gets at the heart of it. What we do here during this time is a taste of what is to come in eternity. It's just a small one, but it's a sweet taste nonetheless, where we are going to be with all those from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, all together glorifying God as His people. So until we get there, let's do what I talked about today. Let's be in prayer. I mean, one of the prayers we should all be praying is, "Lord, let it be today that you come. Please, Lord, let it be today." But if not today, how do we have His will be done, His kingdom advanced? And then, like the psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse 1, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Let's pray that that becomes our mentality. There may be a list of things that you don't like about this church. I would just say, is church about you or is it about God? If this is your community, get plugged in. And then, again, that can just be coming on Sundays, having a smile and just saying, "Praise the Lord, brother and sister in Christ. How can I pray for you?" Any just encouragement, even that is amazing. So for all of us, let's repent and believe. If you are not a Christian in this place, or if you're watching online, the reality of what I said about our sin separating us from God is your reality right now. Ultimately, because of sin, you will face eternal death. You will be separated from God for all of eternity in hell, facing His good and just wrath against your sins. But that doesn't have to be your eternal destiny. You can, as Jesus said, repent and believe. That's throughout all of Scripture. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins. And then to repent is to turn and then believe in Jesus, who He is and what He accomplished for us as testified through the Word of God. I cannot wait to get into John. It is beautiful what John does with that whole believe aspect there. So if you're not a Christian, I'd love to talk to you or to reach out or talk to someone else, but just pray, repent and believe. But ultimately, if you are a Christian, let's also repent and believe. Let's repent of how lightly we take prayer, how lightly we take fellowship. The fact that we get to come to God in prayer, the God of the universe, and we take that so lightly, let's repent of that. And again, Christ died for His bride, the church. We get to be a part of that church. Let's repent of how lightly we take these things that God has earned for us through Jesus. And then let's believe in the testimony of Scripture and have our hearts lifted and be encouraged. First of all, Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how little you've prayed. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up. If you are in Christ, you have no condemnation, absolutely. And then let's know He's working all things out for our good, Romans 8:28. Y'all know I love Romans 8. And then the last promise of Romans 8, that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, nothing in all of creation. And then let's let that lift us, and let's come into the house of the Lord and be thrilled that we get to be here. And let's pray. If all our prayers are, thank You, Lord, for what I have in You. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful prayer. Amen? Amen. And bow your heads and pray with me. Father.